Well, according to St. John, we hear now these words. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. So don't let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Now, Spirit of the living God, move within my heart. Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be found acceptable in your sight. For you are my Lord and strength, you are my Redeemer, Lord Christ. It is in your name we pray these things. Amen. There are a number of you, not our rector, who can remember what it was like when we were kids, how it was that we'd walk to school, because our grade schools and stuff, they were right in our own neighborhoods, weren't they? I mean, for the most part. And we could walk there, even if it was a mile or so distance, we'd walk it, have a good time doing it, maybe with a buddy or a friend or whatever it was, and we'd kibitz and do fun things along the way. In total safety, never once thinking that anything could possibly become untoward or anything that we'd have to fear. And then when school was out, we would rush home, get rid of our stuff, and run back outside to play and do whatever it was we were going to do next, take care of animals or whatever. And then supper was eaten, and then we'd run out again, out into the streets and the neighborhoods and into the parks or whatever, the fields, wrong creeks or whatever it was. And there we would be until the streetlight came on. And that was the universal symbol, remember, that we had to be home. Because if you weren't hitting the property line, basically right after the lights came on, we were in big trouble with Dad and Mom. But you know, we never thought about anything other than having a good time, and we felt so secure and so at peace in those moments out there at that time. I can't imagine any of my grandchildren walking to school in that way, that same sense of security. I can't imagine them being turned loose out into a neighborhood in our world today, in the way we were, how things have changed, how dramatically so many things have changed. We get right down to it. You know, it's life is so different now. And it's just not the events last night, because, again, some of us are old enough to remember that it goes a lot further back than that. There are a lot of other things that have happened that have taken away our security and our sense of safety. Not that long ago, just a few years ago, we had this thing called the pandemic. Not pandemic, but pandemic. Oh, come on now, when I got that letter and then a phone call from the bishop saying that I could be in the building and somebody in my booth who controlled the cameras and stuff for our broadcast, and that was it in a building that seated almost 400 people, this priest was none too pleased or happy at all. But we learned very quickly, didn't we? When schools began to close and so many people were sent home to work from home who could. And then next thing you know, we're chasing around for vaccinations and all this. I think I've got 7 or 8 now of those. And that stuff still continues to haunt us. I was talking to one of our members this week who was off on a trip, and sure enough, they got COVID, or they were gone. And how that has changed so many things. And one of my best friends in my last ministry was the pastor of a Church of God in Christ. And he and I had exchanged pulpits numerous times in the very first weeks of the pandemic. He was gone. He passed from this world due to it. So, our sense of security, our sense of comfort, our sense of not having fear has changed dramatically, to say the very least. To say the very least. And then along comes today's epistle, taken from the book of Ephesians, first chapter, where Paul tells us that we are blessed by God and the Father, by our Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly place, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love, predestined for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. Now that's a whole lot to unwrap right there. Chosen. Chosen. Think about that for a moment. Chosen. Those of us who have these great marriages that we have, there's two lovebirds back there holding hands. Those of us who are so fortunate to share what we share know what it means to be chosen in that special way. But imagine this one, that before this cosmos was even begun to be straightened out, that God himself chose us to be his own before anything was created. In all of creation, God made the decision that we were worthy to be chosen. Don't ask me how. I've been a good stinker along the way. I may have been in church my whole life. And I have been. I was baptized the second week of life. But I still have had my moments. Don't give me any information, Andrea. But it's true, and that's true of each and every one of us, because at various moments in our existence, we have been an enemy of God. We've been an enemy of God, and yet, before anything else was created, God, knowing very well what was going to be happening today in this spot, he chose us to be one of his own. He predestined us, like that word. Some people made a whole theological life about it. He predetermined that we were going to be his child by adoption. Okay? After we were born, we are then being adopted into his permanent family. You understand what that meant in those ancient terms in the day of Paul? That meant that that adopted child not only inherited a name, but full title to their portion and piece of whatever the inheritance was. An equal partner along with any natural born child. And many times it was done because there wasn't a natural born child. And somebody needed to inherit everything. And that's us, inheritors of the fullness of God's grace. That's us. Think about it. Now, like I said earlier, I've been a stinker. Redeemed, but a stinker nonetheless. Just like you. And there are times when our enemy will convince us that we are not worth a moment of God's time, much less loving us enough to make us his children, a child of grace. And we begin to devalue ourselves. We don't need anybody else to do it. We don't need a 24/7 news network that works so hard to destruct other people. We get to do it ourselves because our enemy whispers in our ears all our failings. But let me give you an idea here. If I was to take a $100 bill, which I don't have, can I get one from you? I know you've got them somewhere, sir. Anyway, if I had a $100 bill in my hand, crisp and clean and new and so pretty, just fresh from the bank, and I put it up in the air, and I said, the first person to stick their hand in the air wanting it would get it today. Hands would be popping up all over this place, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. But if I took that same $100 bill and I crumpled it and folded it and creased it and all but tore it up and then unwound it, you'd still want it. If I threw it on the ground and I stomped on it and I drug my foot across and I drug it through the dirt outside and ran it through the gravel and the dirt, shook it off a little bit and held it, I mean, you'd still want it. Why? Because we recognize that that piece of paper has value and is able to be redeemed. Even more so, each and every one of us, as a child of God, adopted by His grace into the family of God, we are of great value and should never see ourselves as anything else but of great value. Now, what does that mean? What happens once that understanding comes about in our lives? What it means is that as a child of God, as somebody who has been chosen, who has been adopted into the family, begins to understand that it is by the grace of God this has happened, and now we have a response to give, which is what we did yesterday at TLC, okay, where we provided food for the moment for families and individuals. What these young people are going to be doing this next week on this mission trip, giving back and doing wonderful things, whether it's going to be in vacation Bible school or it's going to be in the work projects they do or whatever. It is the things that we are going to do with Family Promise and on and on and so many other things. We're Christian people seeing the need of others and in others, understanding of where they are and what happened for them, are now doing those things necessary and requisite to draw others who may not have this understanding yet and helping to understand that they too were chosen, because God chose us all at the very beginning. Oh, we can throw it away. We can turn our back on it and run away from it. We can. Scripture tells us so. But if we are doing what we should be doing, church, reaching out into this lostness of our world, we are then helping others to be drawn to what we have found, that we are chosen, that we are adopted, that we are, yes, born again, and new creatures in this creation. Thanks be to God. Listen again to John's words as he records Jesus, who said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." Everywhere around us are people whose hearts are more than just troubled. We're living in abject fear. We have the answer. You ready, church? Say it with me. Jesus. Come on. Jesus. Jesus. Come on. Jesus. May we share it and give it. Amen. To God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit we ascribe all might, majesty, and dominion now and forevermore. Amen.